Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao. Thank you for tuning in every single week and supporting the show, our team, and the guests, of course. We've got a special guest. His name is Andy Han. I've seen him all around town at events, at coffee shops, at restaurants, and where we're saying hi. We know each other. I can't say very well, but hopefully after today, we'll learn a little bit more about each other. Andy's up to something pretty awesome and new. He was the CEO of a real estate company in the past, a really respected and big one that's doing big projects, especially in 2TM these days. But he's moved on to a new project, which we'll hear about today. I saw some photos of you and your partners on Facebook, and I was like, I want to get this story. Let's hear more from Andy. Andy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes. Andy, CEO of Fillmore. Tell us about Fillmore. What's behind the name? What are you guys trying to do? And what problems are you trying to solve with the group?
Well, first, I have this wonderful partner who's only 32 years old.
Okay.
Very young, very energetic. So he set up the company first. The name Fillmore is coming from the area that he lived in the U.S. In San Francisco.
Oh,
I've never been to Fillmore area.
Okay,
but then he told me that it's area where there's a lot of cultural diversity. He lived there for long and he just loves the area. He tried to bring that feeling and that atmosphere to Vietnam.
Excellent.
That area I heard is FILLLL.
Yeah,
but our company name is just single L.
Okay.
He said that there's an issue with the copyright, so we have to get rid of one now.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, yeah. Fillmore. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I'm actually from San Francisco, I know that area and neighborhood very well.
Sure.
It's definitely diverse. It kind of sits on, I guess you could say, the boundary between the financial district, the central business district, a few residential areas. Definitely up and coming.
Right.
It's got some of the hottest restaurants in town and very walkable. I don't know if that represents your guys' vision for Fillmore, but
That's
more or less
good description.
Good.
I've never been there yet, so
sure.
thanks for the information.
Yeah, yes. Excellent. Yes. And tell us about the partners that you have. So one of them is, as you mentioned, essentially a millennial.
Yes, he's a MZ generation.
Yeah.
So we have him as a chairman.
Okay.
He's the majority shareholder. One other shareholder who is half Vietnamese,
okay,
and, half French.
Yes.
He also has a very stable business in Vietnam, well respected.
Okay.
Well, I want to refer to him as a foreign investor because he's half Vietnamese.
Yes.
So we have him, and then we have another Vietnamese person who is very strong in terms of corporate compliance and corporate structure.
Okay.
So he has been helping us with all the frameworks of the company setup.
Okay.
He's been with the founder from the beginning, and I happen to be the one who joined at the later stage.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's mainly four of us in the board of directors, and then I'm taking the CEO role and investor.
Yeah, got it. I mean, you're the main operator, essentially, right?
Yes.
You've got decades of real estate experience. And before we go into Fillmore, maybe you can share what you've done in the past, especially in the Vietnam context.
Right.
I mean, I know you through Son Kim Lan,
right,
which is one of the bigger developers in Vietnam, doing pretty innovative high-end projects.
Right.
Maybe you can share about that experience. What brought you to Vietnam even in the first place?
Right. So I came to Vietnam in 2006. That time, it was because of my family business.
Mm.
My family was running a construction company and wanting to see an opportunity in Vietnam. So we came, we looked at the view. We couldn't really close the deal. But then this golf course project came along, which was, now it's called the Twin Doves Golf Course in Binh Dinh province, in the Binh Dinh New City. So we came, we signed the MOU and signed the JV in 2006. Had the first 9-hole opening in 2009, another 9-hole 2010, and then fully operational of 27 holes in 2011.
And it's still there to
this day? Yes, it's there. We were trying to make the best golf course in Ho Chi Minh City, at least. We spent a lot of money. I've been to so many golf courses in Southeast Asia, including Korea. At least at that time, when I was in charge of the company and the golf club, it was the best. I say it was because I don't go there now. And I mean, I'm not the one who's running. So it has to be from the people who go there that says it's good or bad, right? So I just say it was best for sure. In terms of the scale of the golf club, the golf course, the clubhouse was the first, you know, humongous and very modern style golf clubhouse that we built. After we built that, all other golf courses in this area, they start to renovate the clubhouses. Mm. So they try to, you know,
increase the standard.
Right. So we were the one who really raised the bar in the beginning. But the thing was, you know, the golf course is in Binzen. I have a house in Ho Chi Minh City, so I travel back and forth every day. The golf course project was a 27-hole golf course, plus, you know, all these residentials that's next to the golf course, right? So there were about 1,500 apartments to be built, 250 villas that's surrounding the golf course, 450 mixed-use an area. But that never took place because the Binzen New City was sort of isolated.
Yeah.
Golf course was doing good, but the residentials, we had to wait because, you know, after the financial crisis in 2008, Vietnam was pretty hit hard. And it just took a while to for the country to recover. And Ho Chi Minh City started to recover because the Congress passed the foreign investment law, allowing the foreigners to buy houses. So this triggered developers to go out and acquire the land, right? So the real estate market started to move. And it was really happening in Ho Chi Minh City. So I saw an opportunity. And then there was, of course, the chairman of Sun Kim Land was a good friend of mine. And he was actually the first reason why I came to Vietnam. So he asked me to you know, join the company. So I joined the company at first as CEO. So from there, we did Gateway Tao Dien, the Nassim, Serenity Sky Villas, and then to Tu Tiem. And I left after we launched the District 9 project, which was 100% online, the first 100% online sales event that we ever did in Vietnam.
And that was just during the COVID period.
Last October.
So you've been at the heartbeat of a few innovative projects. When I mean innovative, well, online sales, that's one thing, but you know, I love the clubhouse golf example because back 10 years ago or even more, was golf even a thing, right? Especially amongst you know, Vietnamese consumers. More or less, maybe not, but obviously nowadays it is. Golf courses are everywhere, not just for foreigners, but for Vietnamese. And of course, the Son Cam Lam example. You know, you mentioned the 2008 downturn. And before we go into Fillmore and kind of what you guys are working on, I want to set the stage for... Are we seeing another slowdown in the market? There's a lot of chatter online about apartment sales, nosediving. It's potentially because of interest rates. Maybe people are holding on their cash. I'm not quite sure. What's your take on the situation, especially in residential?
Companies struggle because these days it's very difficult to find the land or find a good land, find the land that makes sense in terms of feasibility. Difficult in terms of the legal issues because, I mean, there are tons of land out there, but... All the legal process, is it like okay to build a house or build an apartment? So many projects that are far from having the approvals. So those are really what's making the developers difficult. So what you see these days is they go outside of Ho Chi Minh City. So they go to Dong Nai, they go to Binzen, they go to Long An, because it's much easier to find the land. And then in terms of getting all the legal processes done as fast as they can. Right. So those projects that finished launch, I think they're quite successful. So in terms of slowdown, yes, slowdown, because again, some lands, I mean, the landowners are asking for a ridiculous price. So it just, in terms of the commercial, you know, value, it just doesn't make sense. So they developers have to turn those efforts down. Or they just go through this legal process, which is just getting prolonged years and years. Right? Yeah, so these are what's making the developers a bit difficult. But I don't see any slowdown, you know, here. I actually see a lot of new projects popping up these days. So it is happening in terms of investment, because here in Vietnam, I really don't see, there are a lot of projects. But I don't really see a good apartments to live. I mean, especially a foreigner like me.
So they're kind of like a lot of secondary homes. Like there you live in a principal home, but then...
I mean, there are homes, but they're not really pleasant to live. And from the developer point of view, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a CEO or the chairmen of the big developers living in their property?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. I mean, the answer is no.
It's a no. So then my next question is, how much contributions can they do into the design? How much contribution can they do to the construction, right? I mean, if you know, I mean, you are running this Vistaterra, right? You're the one who's capable of running it. You can talk, you have the network to invite people. So you are there, you're leading every single way to make the Vistaterra successful. But these owners of the developers, they've never lived in the apartment. How much contributions can they bring?
Can they really speak to what the consumers right. want? So, you know, let's talk about Fillmore a little bit. I have to agree for the most part, especially, you know, there's a lot of too much inventory, I guess you could say, in some segments. Right. And people are buying them as second homes, not even living in them. And it's creating communities that are also very desolate. They're not that interesting, or they don't have enough restaurants or cafes to experience. I mean, some of them are great to live in for the average, you know, home buyer potentially, but because they're being held as secondary homes, the people buying them actually aren't living in them.
Right.
It's creating some community, I think, lacking of community in these areas. Let's talk about Fillmore for a little bit. What problem and opportunity are you guys trying to solve and kind of, you know, meet with the new business?
And apartments, I want to make a nice project that's really livable, right? You've talked about projects in the secondary market or the second homes, right? So there are a lot of condo tales in the coastal areas like Da Nang and Yachang that we're seeing these days. And you go there, it's empty. Why is it empty? Right? Because developers, they build, and then they say that, oh, you can do Airbnb here. You're not going to be here all year long. So why don't you just buy, invest, lease it out to somebody, right, on a timeshare basis, and then make some income. The thing is, because of these legal issues, you don't own the property in condo tails. So this is actually an issue of a Congress, in my opinion. So there has to be a relevant law that helps the developer and at the same time helps the apartment owners, right? When you build a condo tails, normally there tend to be a lot of units, but you don't have enough car parking places. And these developers, they spend less in terms of the amenities. So for anyone to live there long, it's not really convenient, right? For Fillmore, so we're doing the residentials only. Okay. We don't want to do any kind of a condo tails. First, because of the legal issues, as I mentioned. So it's a place where I want people to stay longer. Right, and when you stay longer, in my opinion, for all the projects that I've done in the past, it has to be a place where you can really stay healthy, have a good sleep, and enjoy your life with the family. Right, and I mean, I say it's simple, but there's a lot of things that, you know, that does contribute to having a good sleep, enjoying your life with the family. Right, so. I'll give you a very simple example. If you are having an issue with the noise, then you try to sleep and then you're hearing all kinds of noise from the road. How can you get a good sleep?
Right.
When you have a windows that it's not, that's built in the wrong way, right? It's really the design issue and the construction issues, right? How do you get rid of this, right? Do you have enough gym area? Do you have enough equipment for the residents to come and exercise and stay healthy? Do you have enough swimming pool areas for them to, you know, cool down and then spend some time with their family? Is the reception good enough to welcome people? Is it good enough to, do you have proper receptionist that can handle some of the complaints? Because you will have complaints no matter what. Right? You will have some issues that you need to speak to the property managers. Do you have the proper people to look after the residents' day-to-day problems, right? All these things add values to your living on a daily basis. So I'm looking at this, I'm approaching this from the design point of view and from the resident point of view, right? And for every project, well, I cannot say every project, most of the projects I bought. It's not because company gave me a favorable offer or anything.
Yeah.
That I'm trying, okay, now I'm a CEO of the developer. Now I'm having another hat as a resident, as a buyer. What are my problems? And I'm trying to look at things from the resident buyer point of view, right? And I am one of the first person to move in to the property to understand, okay, what kind of problems are we facing?
Right.
And there are certain defects that tend to happen, right? It's because of the design issue. It could be because of the contract, that particular contractor, because we, for all of our projects, we never just give to the main contractor only. We give to the main contractor for the structure works, for all like a joinery, for the toilet, for the kitchen, for lighting, we give to the specialist. So, you know, we have certain contractors that's doing certain things. So where are the defects coming from? Is it this particular contractor that we have appointed, right? Is it because of the workmanship, or is it because from the design stage, we didn't really think far enough, right? So I get to see all this, and then at least I have a chance to fix in my next project.
Who's the future home buyer of a Fillmore project? Is it everyone from high net worth individuals? Is it the more like, there's a group that we call Henrys at Vietcetera. Are you familiar with this term, Henrys? So we call them high earning, but not rich yet. The idea that there's a population of, especially young people, that make much more income than the average person or any other generation before them. And as a result, they have more money to spend.
Right.
And if you think about this group, are they going to be able to afford the penthouse at Empire City or these other projects? Well, no. But do they have enough money to save towards, you know, a nicer apartment than some of the, you know, lower to middle class income properties? Probably. I'm curious, what is the profile of a customer of a future Fillmore property?
It's actually everybody. But it really depends on where the land is and where we are doing the project. Our first project happened to be in Da Nang, in front of the Han River. Why Da Nang? Well, it was Da Nang prior to my time, you know, before I joined the company. So chairman, he first started this project 2 years ago. And when I joined, we already finished the substructure. So we were into the superstructure. So for that particular project, our target is the luxury rich people. And it is in Da Nang, so our focus is more on people outside of Da Nang, like people from Hanoi or from Ho Chi Minh City, also in Da Nang, but we don't think the ratio from Da Nang will be high. And the type of development we're doing there is because we're selling prices about $5,000 or higher. So we have to target or focus is more on the rich people who have multiple houses already. In Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi. But in here, Ho Chi Minh City, we have, or I would say the south, we have land in Binh Dinh, in Toi Om Mot, the old capital of Binh Dinh province. We have lands in Binh Chan and Nha Be. So these are areas where, you know, it's perfectly suitable for Henry people, right? Because the selling price is not going to be as high as our first project. But we want to create a special living experience. So to me, this living experience is very important.
That's what unifies the company values and spirit more so than just target price or how much money you make kind of thing. Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of developers these days, they are stamping. So it's like, what's difference from one building to another? I think the developers are thinking of apartments as a financial instrument, meaning they're not really putting the souls or spending enough time to make that development special.
How big is each Fillmore development?
Not that big at the moment. For the Fillmore Da Nang, we have 206 units, which is not that big. And mostly it's one bedrooms and two bedrooms.
And how many in total is the inventory?
206.
206.
206 units. So it's not a 25-story building. Not a very high rise, but it is a high rise.
Okay.
Here in the south, so we're still going through the process. So it's still high rise. I still don't know how many units we can do. But the one in Nha Be will be pretty big because we have about 9 hectares. So it's pretty big.
That's a whole little mini city. You can do quite a lot there, probably.
And then we're trying to acquire more projects at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we're speaking to a lot of landowners. Mm-hmm. Some are giving us a hard time, but some are looking okay.
Okay.
Right.
I mentioned a little bit about the values of Fillmore and some of the target customers you guys have. Mm. I want to talk about some of your teammates. You mentioned who they are in a broad sense. Right. I think I know most of them, if not all of them. One of them you mentioned is part of that younger generation.
Right.
And I'm starting to see myself, there's a few developers who do have that young blood in them, right? They've studied abroad or they've lived here for a long time working for a real estate company, their family business or something. They're kind of branching off to do their own now. What kind of spirit, given the team, at least age diversity, does that represent for Fillmore's kind of like corporate identity? What does that stand for you?
I mean, so far in my life, I've never worked in a company where I am or I was the oldest person. I still consider myself quite young, this company, I have to be the oldest.
Okay.
I mean, except you leave out all these board members.
Yeah,
right? People who are working in a full-time basis, I happen to be the oldest.
Mm.
So I am finding a bit difficult to adjust.
Mm.
But we have a group of young people, so there's energy in our company. I mean, because they also have a lot of people who are very energetic and they're eager to do something quite new. We have like all the graphic visuals that we are producing.
Mm-hmm.
So we are working with a group of people who are very talented.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at some of the CGIs that the team did for our Fillmore Da Nang project, so I felt that wow, I couldn't believe this is Vietnam quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past I used to give this job to Thailand, to Singapore. People who are much more experienced, right? and they were of course charging us expensive money, but finding that kind of a quality and of course much cheaper than having somebody in overseas, so I found it quite interesting. And then it's also for any businesses in these days, like I want to bring in the tech part into the real estate.
Okay.
Right. So at the moment, I'm working with FPT to bring in some applications and smart home that would really work, inside the apartment, that also is helpful for the users. Right. I understand that there are these apps or something from the mobile that people can use that were developed by some other developers, but I think it's more to help their ecosystem. It's not really make the users convenient. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, again, from the user point of view, from the buyer or resident or the tenant point of view, how to make things much easier for them to use and how to add value. Real estate to me, I don't know if you own your apartment here or not, but if you own an apartment, that's a big investment. That's one of the biggest assets that you may have in your entire life, right? Especially for young people, this could be your only asset, right? The biggest asset. So for your asset to perform well, it must appreciate, right? Or it should produce very good rental income. When you have a good projects, yes, they really appreciate. They produce a lot of very high yield, in terms of rent. And projects that I've done in the past are typical examples, right? I mean, it's next to the international school. There are a lot of, the F&Bs, and the units are built in a nice way, and it's really enjoyable by the family. So there's a high demand, and the prices, they doubled or 2.5 times. They're doing this. So as the buyer point of view, right, even the tenant point of view, they're happy. Right. So my point is to have something like this developed so that, when customers, they buy, they're happy.
Mm.
Right. And it's really giving them some sort of a return. You don't have to hold on to it for many years. Even if you keep it for 1 or 2 years, you make some sort of a the returns. Right. And then you sell, another person also make money. To me, this is the real value in the real estate.
Mm.
We also take some profit. But we shouldn't be taking too much profit. But this is a tendency that I see in Vietnam. developers, they take too much profit. So when it's passed on to the buyers, they have little room to enjoy. Or it takes 5-10 years for them to enjoy something meaningful. I don't want to be doing that. I want to create a value, pass on to the buyers. They enjoy, they stay, they can keep it for as long as they want, pass on, make good profit. So to me, this is, has to be a good investment, right? And I don't think there are many projects in Vietnam that really can produce this kind of result.
Okay. Well, let's see if we see more in the future, hopefully from Fillmore as well. Now, I love the whole synthesis of the name, the Fillmore neighborhood of San Francisco, to how you guys approach and think about the operation and the long term of the project. I want to zone on your last comment about how some people might take a decade for them to really enjoy the asset they've invested in. The amount of time it takes now, if you look at the average monthly income of a young Vietnamese person, they're probably calculating the time it takes to buy a property. And then on top of that, once they buy it, it takes a long time to appreciate or to get real value. I guess you can frame it as opportunities do young people have when it comes to buying real estate these days. Maybe just you can share a couple notes about that. Like, should a young person be thinking about real estate? How should they be thinking about it? I'd love to hear.
I think they should. Fortunately, these days you have access to mortgage loans, right? So depending on how much income you have, you still can buy, right? I don't think you should be buying something that's really stressful, right? So compared to what you can earn, and then I'm sure you can find something. Here in Vietnam, I mean, metro, we haven't seen it yet, right? But we know where the metro's lines are going, right? So if you look at projects that are next to these metro lines, the price are already pretty high. So these factors are already reflected, right? But nevertheless, what's the beauty of the metro line is that, for example, here, the last stop is in District 9, or inside Thủ Đức City, right? You can still live that far. I mean, when we drive a motorbike or a car, it's, what, 25 to 30 minute drive. So in our mind, we feel like, oh, that's far.
Yeah.
But if we take metro, it could be taking much less. And it's always on time. You're never, I mean, the time
is
pretty, you know, straightforward. So when you can live that far out and you still get to enjoy the space, you still live inside a nice apartment, then I think it's a really good investment and it's a very good place for you to live. You just need to find a good product that could fit what you want, where you want to live and what kind of apartment you want to have. And here in Vietnam, I mean, you still have a chance to buy an apartment that's not yet built, right? So there's a pre-sale happen. So you buy, you're paying installment. You can pay up to 30% and then get some financing from the bank, you know, after you pay 30%. So there are opportunities for you if your family can help. Because normally what happens in Vietnam is you buy from the primary market. And by the time the project is finished, there is a price appreciation, right? So depending on how good the project is, sometimes, like I've seen cases in 2TM, more than double,
wow.
Right? I don't think you're going to see that in elsewhere,
sure.
But at least, you know, 20-30% price appreciation is going to be there, right? So you have to spend time identifying what is a good project. Is the developer reputable? Is the design something that I like? Right. Is it close to these infrastructures that's going to be coming up soon? So those are the things that you want to look for.
Okay.
And I mean, you don't want to be, I mean, there are a lot of townhouse projects or villa projects where they are built a long time ago and you pass by and you don't really see people living. So I feel these are ghost houses.
It's really sad,
right? And they are, as I said, it's like a stamping. It's just, there's no difference. It's just right? Everywhere. I don't know what kind of a community they have. When you're living in an apartment or residential area, you need to have a good community. And a community that works. People there, they're trying to gather, they're trying to talk. What can we do to improve our place? I mean, you know, you spend a lot of efforts and then the community becomes better over time. But if there's no activity or no community, right, formed, then what good is it as a residential property, right? So stay in a place where there are people, right? In my opinion, whether it's a commercial or residential, right, traffic is the most important. Where do you think is the cheapest land price in Vietnam?
I mean, it's far away from the city center at the moment, at least.
Mountains,
right?
Probably.
Mountains, okay.
Right? Because why? Yeah. Nobody live.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody coming, mm-hmm. right? Where is the most expensive land in Ho Chi Minh City?
Right, at the moment.
Where
we are, right in the middle of the city.
Because here we have a lot of traffic. People are coming to eat, to work, to see something. You know, I mean, there's for all kinds of reasons we're coming. So traffic is very important, right? And traffic can be enhanced when there are better infrastructures, right? When we have roads built, when we have highways, when we have bus lines, I mean, 10, 20, 30 bus lines, you know, stopping. We have metro stations, 2-3 crossing. Think about it, right? And then we're going to have millions of people walking, right? So I say this to my people, probably the most expensive land is where there are a lot of people stepping on the land. If nobody is stepping on the land, that's the cheapest area in the earth. If you see constant stepping of people, that's where probably the most expensive, you know, area.
So I would say, without knowing too much, the future Fillmore developments, you guys really think about, you know, the ground floor spaces, right? How to activate them, how to make them public, activated spaces.
Right. So that's really important for us.
Yeah.
But here also there are some legal challenges because in typical Vietnamese projects, whether in Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi or Da Nang, there are some regulations where developer have to put a lot of space to commercial area.
It's like zoning.
It's zoning, right? And it's the ratio. But when you have too much commercial inside a residential project, you can't really make use of it well, right? So like, okay, I mean, ground floors, you can probably fill up.
But how many coffee shops can you have?
Right. Second, third, and sometimes fourth. Uh-huh. What can you bring, right? If it's really, I mean, place like this, quite easy to fill up. But in the residential district, this is where people are supposed to live, not so much on the commercials, right? So when the ratio for commercial is too high, it's causing a bit of a headache for developers. Fortunately, for our first project, we don't have that many commercial area. So it's just the right size. So we are going to have something that's, it's not for the sake of how much rent can we generate. Our approach is never like that. It's really what this commercial retail can help or bring more value to the residential properties above.
Mm-hmm.
That's our primary focus.
We think about it in the same way. We're digital real estate, et cetera.
Right.
The more people we have listening to today's podcast or visiting the website, there's obviously more value that you can create.
Right.
But if you create, short-term hits kind of thing that create virality, but then they leave really fast, or maybe people don't even come at all because the content's not relevant.
Right.
Your brand suffers, the real estate suffers as a result.
Right.
So long-term thinking, public, active spaces, consistency, sounds like those are the values and trends.
Right.
Andy, we're nearing the end of our podcast today, but I always like to ask, and people are very curious, I'm sure, as a startup, new company coming together, are you guys hiring at Fillmore? And for what kind of people? Are they young people, experienced people? What roles are those? I'd love to hear from you.
We're hiring. We still need a lot of people, and everything starts with people, right? So to me, this human value is the most important. As long as you can speak English, will be better.
Okay.
Then you have
that way you can talk to Andy.
Yeah. You have a chance to talk to me. Definitely, experience is something that we're looking for. But it's okay. I mean, you may not be so experienced because we're not always looking for director levels or manager levels. It could be executive levels, but people who are really energetic, eager to learn, people who are seeing this or listening to this podcast, they can feel free to join our company.
Excellent. Well, great. Well, you heard it from Andy himself. For those listening in or tuning in, Fillmore is hiring. They're starting to build first in Da Nang, but many other projects in the south. of Vietnam and hopefully the rest of the country very soon as well. Fillmore, CEO of Fillmore, we have Andy on the show. Thank you so much for joining the show, Andy. Wish the best of luck to you and your colleagues and your teammates about this new project. Always exciting to hear some insights from experts like you. Thank you for joining today's studio, and we hope to have you or your colleagues back on the show very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you guys.
Viglacera Corporation is the largest real estate and building materials group in Vietnam, as well as the largest industrial park operator in Vietnam. 48 years of excellence makes Viglacera a leading full-service provider of sustainable and high-quality building materials. Having a total of 40 subsidiaries, Viglacera covers the entire real estate and building materials spectrum. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.